prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
It's like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. It's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 27 May, 2025. Welcome to the last program. We're glad you're with us, and I sincerely mean that. Tonight we're going to discuss something I've never discussed before on this program. I'll be talking about finances because finances are important to everybody. We all live here. We're going to look at it from a different angle. We're going to discuss tariffs. Are they constitutional? What's behind the tariffs? What's behind all kinds of things? And we're going to discuss tonight with a guy by the name of Roger Simmermaker. And he wrote a couple of books about this. It's unconstitutional. And also he wrote a book on how Americans can buy American. Before we do that, though, don't forget, we are offering our teachings on American prophecy. I think that as far as prophecy goes, the most important teaching that I've ever done. It's 3 hours long on DVD or CD, your choice. And with that, you get a book entitled The New Jerusalem, Is Not the Old Jerusalem, and the outline I used to get the teaching from. Now, folks, I cannot overemphasize how important this teaching is. You'll not understand prophecy till you understand who we are in Scriptures and the nations that are going to be involved in this final day scenario in prophecy. You will not understand it until you understand the players, so to speak. So get that if you like. It's available at for $39.95 delivered. And, folks, if I could give it away, I would. But if I did, for two reasons, I can't. First off, I can't afford to. Secondly, if I did, most people would not appreciate it. They wouldn't appreciate what they have. They just wouldn't. And don't forget, this week we're going to have a special speaker at our Bible study in person. Lord willing, we're going to have Diana Ketterman there discuss different topics, different issues. We're going to start at 11 o'clock Eastern. You can watch that on PastorBush.com. Just go to Rumble, and there we'll be. Or you can listen on the phone, if you like, at 339-209-5013 to what's being said. And I hope you will join us. I think you'll find this very interesting. Now, order the DVDs I just mentioned, or anything else you may like to do with us, an order from us, or whatever you like, or to give a donation. We'd appreciate that. But you can call 800-777-4403. If you have long distance, you can call 304-846-4448. That will save us some money, folks. Long distance is not free. Even toll-free, it costs us something to have that. So, welcome. Please call and order what you like, whether it be that or other products we offer through the ministry. If you want a free catalog, all you have to do is call and ask for it. It's free. Leave your name and address, and please your phone number also, just in case we get it back and we don't know why. But please feel free to order the catalog. Welcome. Please call and order what you like, whether it be that or other products we offer through the ministry. If you want a free catalog, all you have to do is call and ask for it. It's free. Leave your name and address, And please, your phone number also, just in case we get it back and we don't know why. But please, feel free to order the catalog. And he warned us that one day we're going to hear a great sucking sound as our businesses go south in other places with the idea of NAFTA and GATT, which come into being under Clinton. And what he predicted has happened. Our businesses have left our country, went overseas, they manufactured cheaper, and sold back to us at a huge profit. And, of course, I understand why. We shipped our inflation overseas, I guess you could say. We buy foreign goods to make our dollar look stronger than what it really is. And this is what's happened to America. America no longer produces itself. It can't even feed itself. It's sad, but it's true. We're reaping what we've sown over the years of cheap goods and losing manufacturing jobs. Now they consider burger flipping a manufacturing job. That's where we are in America today. Our guest tonight, Roger Simmermaker, is trying his best to show why it hasn't worked, why free trade doesn't work, and how it's harmed our country. And folks, we are losing our economy every day. Our dollar is dropping in value every day. Many things are happening behind the scenes that we don't even know about, with deals being made and inflation eating us alive. We're going to find out maybe some answers to why tonight. Roger, are you there?
Yes, I am. It's great to be on the air with you.
It's good to have you, my friend. It truly is. And before we get into the program tonight, tell a friend something about Roger. Who is he? What does he do? How did he get involved in all this?
Okay, well, I got into politics when Ross Perot came on the scene. I noticed you mentioned Ross Perot.
Yes.
And there was just one day that I went shopping, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to make sure I buy something made in America today. Why not? And I had such trouble doing it, going in and out of stores, talking to managers of the stores, why can't I find an American-made shirt or pants or whatever? And I just got upset about it, decided to do something about it, and started to research. And there was really nothing out there that really helped the consumer to be able to find and buy American-made products. So I decided I was going to jump in with both feet, and here we are. 30-some-odd years later, and the rest is history, as they would say.
Well, now tell me, we'll get into more details in a minute, but have you found things to really change a lot? Are a lot of products now made in America? Are you easier to find something made in America? Or is it still the same?
Well, it depends on the category, but talking apparel, there's only about 3% of the apparel sold in the United States is made here in America. But if you know where to find that 3%, you're going to be okay. And I know how to find the 3%. I write about it in my books and on my website. And it's easier to do than most people think, but you have to know. You have to be educated where to find the products.
You know, and that, I'm quite a bit older than you are, I know that. But I've seen America go from basically a self-sufficient nation back in the 50s. We fed ourselves. We clothed ourselves. We made our own steel. We did everything made in America. When you buy something made in America, it meant made in America. All of our appliances, Maytag and Whirlpool, were American made. You cannot find, at least I've never seen it lately, an appliance that you can afford that's made in America. Refrigerators used to last for 20, 25 years. Now I talk to people that sell them, and they tell they're made to last 2 years. And when they break down because they're electronic, you can't afford to fix them. You throw them away and you buy another one. That's what we're seeing in America right today. Now, you go ahead, please.
Right, and what you say is very revealing. And I would just note, in the appliance category, a lot of people do not realize, Whirlpool makes a lot of their products in the USA, and I have Whirlpool appliances. And but you've heard of General Electric.
Oh, yes.
They also make appliances, but the division of General Electric that makes the appliances is owned by the Chinese now. So even if you're buying an American-made product, this is what I talk about in the book, even if you're buying an American-made product, if the company is not based in the United States, we're sending profits, tax revenue, money overseas, and of course we don't want to be feeding that country, China, that could lead to our demise if they decide, to take military action on us or whatever they would like to do. So you know, the point is, made in USA is good, but buy American is better. Buying American means you're buying an American-made product from an American-owned company, and hopefully with a high domestic parts content in that product. So you keep not just the jobs here. That's what American-made does, keeps the jobs here. But buying American, ownership, made, and parts, you keep jobs, profits, and tax revenue in this country. And we need revenue in this country. We need our national defense, our military. If we ever want to save Social Security, make sure that that stays around with Medicare, all those things that, you know, we have to be able to fund the things that we, the people, have demanded from our tax dollars. And the best way to do that is to buy American in the purest sense of the term, and that's what I talk about in my books.
Is it possible today, with the way I live about 4 hours or so from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I live in West Virginia. And for many years, I haven't been up there for quite a while in this part of the area, the town of Pittsburgh. But you drive by up here, and Pittsburgh used to be a big steel city. I mean, we made our own steel for everything we needed. And we know for a fact that a lot of steel shipped from overseas is not the quality we once had in America. I know that. I've read about studies somewhat. But when you drive up by there, you could see, and it's probably still there, big hawking factories that are just shut down. There's nothing there. There's the empty buildings of what once used to be a thriving business, and it brought thousands and thousands of jobs to that area, well-paying jobs. Can we, as a nation, rebuild that and remanufacture at a time scale that we can make it work? I mean, that's the question I have. And if we did, can we afford what we have to pay to do it as a people in the finished product?
Well, that's when we get into talking about tariffs. That's why tariffs are important. A lot of people probably don't know that the second bill ever signed by President George Washington after we established the Great Seal of the United States was a 5% tariff on all imports. Tariffs, it's called duties in the Constitution, is right in there. Free trade right is not. There is no founding national document that mentions free trade or free markets in any sense of those terms. That's why it's unconstitutional, and that's why we need to avoid that and have those tariffs that will help incentivize the American steel industry, other industries, because China is overproducing steel. It plummets the price down, makes everything cheaper, harder for us to make money because the price is so cheap, and they're just flooding the market with steel and other things, and that's not good for our workers and our industries.
With the free trade agreements, and you said that Ross Perot really laid on the line. No one believed him. They threatened to kill his family members, so he withdrew from the race, obviously. That's true. Back then, I didn't know that, but it was true. So he was saying things that shook up the establishment. A lot of the leaders and the people in power wanted free trade for whatever reason. But the American dollar was going down fast even back then. If it wasn't for our petrodollar back in our dollar was about nothing. So they had to buy something, cheaper goods, to keep us afloat here in this country. Is that a fair statement?
I don't think that we do well to ourselves by having cheap products in this country.
I agree.
President William McKinley said that he does not prize the word cheap. It's not a badge of honor. It's a symbol of despair, because cheap goods make for cheap prices. Cheap prices make for cheap men, and cheap men make for a cheap country. And that's absolutely correct. We have a problem in this country if we, with higher American wages, if we cannot afford to buy products made by other Americans. What kind of a situation could we possibly be in if we claim that with the money that we make with our wages here that we have to get things from China or Bangladesh or Haiti because we can't afford them? We can afford them, and tariffs are the way to incentivize those products made in the USA, and it's worth every penny, and it's an investment. We have to look at it as an investment in America, not as an extra cost of buying an American-made product.
Well, at the current condition of economics in the country today, with the dollar being losing value every day, that's obviously true. Gold and silver's proven that on their own. But with that happening and people having a hard time struggling, just keeping up with their utility bills and insurances and health care, how would we turn that around without crippling the economy to the point that the people could not afford to buy the goods?
Well, you talked about NAFTA, and this was just up until the year 2014. We lost 845,000 certified jobs lost because of NAFTA.
Yes.
The WTO, when China came into the WTO, from 2001 to 2018, just that snapshot of time, we lost 3.7 million jobs. So we're losing these jobs, and it depresses wages. And then if we don't make the higher wages to be able to afford the products that we want to buy that are made in America, that's part of the problem. Every manufacturing job creates 7.4 other jobs in other areas. So you have to look at that, and you would also have to believe that the reverse is true, that for every job that we don't have because of imports, we lose 7.4 other jobs because they're not being created because the job isn't here. So we have to own the land. We have to own the factory. We have to employ the workers here in the United States. They pay the most taxes. American workers are the only ones that pay taxes to America. Workers in foreign countries don't pay a dime towards Social Security, national defense, or anything that results in the glory of our nation.
But we surely are free about sending those things out to other countries and paying illegals here with our taxes and Social Security system. We know that. Now, this is a little bit different direction, but do you think that the powers that be are willfully trying to undermine America's economy to the point to bring us to our knees?
That's a real tough question. And the free trade and the globalist economists, I cannot understand how someone, the group of people that are for free trade and globalism, they can be so well educated and yet miss the mark so horribly on what we should be doing.
That's my point. I don't think that they're that really overall that stupid. I think they know what they're doing. Their intention may be undermining our economy.
Right. It does undermine our economy. And it puts us in a place of, we have a Declaration of Independence. We don't have a Declaration of Interdependence. But that's what free trade and globalism gives us, because we have to be dependent on these other countries to supply our wants and needs. And that's against the founding values of this country: independence, self-sufficiency, self-reliance.
That's very true. At one time, we were the leader in economics, period. And innovation was one of our key strengths. We know that, too. Unfortunately, that's been taken away from us. It seems that we become more of a socialist state and welfare state than we have a manufacturing nation. And I think it shows in our economy, in our workforce, and even in the drive for people to want to work. They're getting frustrated. Not them. Why should they work? Biden fed them real well through the COVID hoax, and people kept making money hand over fist, and they didn't want to work. Now you can't get them back to work. So there are a lot of things that need fixed, but one of them is, you're right, free trade. And our first president warned us in his farewell address, don't get overly involved with foreign nations. Don't get involved with them. Don't go fight their wars. Don't do these things. But we've done that to our own detriment. So and up until in 1916, we had no income taxes because everything was paid through tariffs. The federal government run off tariffs. The national government run off tariffs. What happened that we – explain how we started going away from that, please, and when it happened.
Well, we got some away from the wisdom of our founding fathers, and you mentioned some other presidents. And one of the best things that I think President Abraham Lincoln said – is that we should trade where it is necessary and discontinue it where it is not. He didn't say avoid it where it is not. He said discontinue it. So in the example, after making that statement, he talked about if we have to import coffee beans and bananas and things like that, okay, we can't have those here, right? But right. as far as it's providing us with cotton goods, was the example he used, we should discontinue trade in that area because we can be self-sufficient, self-reliant, and independent like we were supposed to be when the country was founded.
Well, and that's very wise, and that's the way it should be. Unfortunately, it seems like people on the other spectrum wanted us to become dependent and wanted to get involved in cheap goods coming in, and I'm sure making lots of money off of it. But this has been an undermining of our country for many years, Roger. As long as I've been alive, I've seen this. I didn't understand it for years, but I've seen things start switching around. Back when I grew up in the 50s and early 60s, you didn't see many foreign cars. If you saw a car made in Japan, it sounded like a Honda motorbike, a little tiny one, just puttering up the road. No one liked them. We had Ford, Chevy, and GM. We made our own cars, and they were really classic cars. I loved those years. But things started changing in the 60s and 70s and 80s. We started seeing more imports coming in and better quality cars coming in from the different countries. That was not an accident, was it?
Oh, absolutely. That was engineered to be that way because, you know, our Constitution says we're supposed to form a more perfect union. It does not say we're supposed to form a more perfect global economy. Our Constitution says we are to regulate commerce with foreign nations. That's where tariffs comes into play. And these globalist economists and free trade economists that claim that we could do better efficiently by having other cheaper countries import their products into our country have just really missed it. They messed up their predictions. You mentioned NAFTA before. We had a trade surplus with Mexico before NAFTA, and they claimed that it was going to expand the trade surplus. We were going to get more jobs in the country. Well, the exact opposite happened. You know, Mexico, they make 1/8 of the wages that we make in the United States. So it's companies that close the factories here and go down there, they're making money hand over fist.
Of course.
With these lower wages. And then, of course, when you lay off an American worker, he no longer pays into Social Security because we have a 12.4% amount that goes into Social Security, split half with the worker and half with the company. Well, if the company lays off the worker, we're subsidizing imports because we just gave away all of our Social Security revenue, and we're not going to see that money with the workers gone and not employed in the United States. So it's really, when you think about it, free trade is actually very immoral because we have a duty to protect those workers who abide by and absorb the costs of our laws from those who do not. And workers in China do not operate under U.S. laws. They don't pay Social Security like I was talking about. They don't contribute to national defense, infrastructure, any of that stuff. So, you know, we're really taking it on the chin with this free trade, and we've got to get back to the way that we founded the country with tariffs and duties and all the things that are in the Constitution.
Well, I totally agree, and I have to say again, this didn't happen by accident. I cannot believe over the last 50 years how quickly we've been dismantled as a nation in a lot of different ways, economically also, but a lot of different ways. I can't believe it just happened by accident. This had to be planned. This was too complicated to happen but per chance. It just couldn't happen that way. It's impossible. But now, I agree, and I a lot of things Trump's doing I like, a lot of things Trump's doing I don't like. I won't get into that. But I'll get to the point that I like the idea of tariffs. I do like that. Unfortunately, I don't know that he's doing it the right way as far as maybe too much too quickly. I don't know that. And there's some things need done. But when you maybe get overzealous, you can hurt people that without really meaning to, with things that come up too quickly for the company to absorb it. I know right now we're going to see a lack of goods on our shelves because of tariffs, because China's shipping has dried up. We don't have any goods coming in. I know we should make our own, but right now we don't. We're going to see a lot of prices increase because of lack of supply. I like the idea of tariffs. I'm all for that. But I just don't know that we should have jumped into it so fast and so hard without maybe doing a little bit of thinking in advance. What's your opinion on that?
Well, what I talk about in my book, Unconstitutional, is I advocate what President Teddy Roosevelt said. And today, what he talked about then, I think today we would call equalizing tariffs. You just equalize the cost burdens and make everything fair so everybody plays on the same level playing field. He said tariffs must never be reduced below the point that fails to cover the difference of labor cost here and abroad. Now, we have more than just labor costs, too. We have pollution control, safety, all taxes, regulation, all kinds of things. So it's not just about labor cost burdens. It's the input costs of the production cost burdens. So if we follow his advice and never reduce those tariffs below that point, we make trade fair, everybody's equal, we all play by the same rules. And, of course, the United States has an equal protection clause. I think very few people would suggest that we should apply laws unequally. So, again, going back to the Constitution and some of the wisdom of our former presidents on tariffs.
Do you think, in your opinion, that we've maybe went too deep for too long to turn around in a quick enough time span to make a big difference in our children's lifetime?
Well, you're going to need a combination of revenue and cutting red tape, right? We're not going to be able to cut ourselves. Yeah, we're not going to be able to cut enough regulation out to save $37 trillion. You have to have revenue. So you need both sides of the equation, revenue from tariffs. And as you pointed out, we didn't used to have an income tax, and now we do. And that's the, President Lincoln said that that's the worst way to collect revenue is with taxes. The best way to do it is with the tariffs. And he was a high tariff guy. He was a Buy American guy. And we need more people like he was in government right now.
Well, obviously, for many years, America really prospered under the system of tariffs. We built the largest economy in the world. And we did it in a very short span, actually, compared to most places, because we had a free enterprise system that actually worked. And I know a lot of people took advantage of it. I realize that a lot of people destroyed a lot of things, and even the planet, I guess you could say, they over did a lot of things wrong with that. We need some regulation on that to a point, but we've overregulated our industry now to the point that they have a hard time even breaking even, time they obey all the so-called laws that have been put in place that are almost impossible to meet. So that's another problem I see coming with, not just tariffs, but overregulation. Do you see that also?
Well, you have to do it on a case-by-case basis. There's good regulation and there's bad regulation. So you need to go through with a fine-tooth comb and find the bad ones and get rid of those, but keep the good ones.
Because, hang on through the break. Hang on through the break, Roger. Folks, back at the break. If you have any questions, comments, give us a call. 717-300-1698. 717-300-1698. If you want to call and talk to us. Seeking souls of fallen men. Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775, or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you, you can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Hurd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Hurd Road, Netty, N-E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Hurd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
All righty, folks, we're back. We're talking to Roger Simmermaker. We're discussing tariffs, a book, and unconstitutional. Our founding fathers rejected free trade, and so should we. We're trying to make some common sense here to bring forth the points that I know Roger feels important. And the lines are open. If you have any questions, comments, you feel free to call at 717-300-1698. And I was asking Roger during the break different questions, too, because I'm enjoying this conversation immensely. And I know a lot of people probably don't think this is important. But if you don't think this is important, you're not considering the future of your children. I'm being polite here, really am. But our children are going to live in a country that we leave them. I like to think we're going to leave it a little better shape than what we found it in. As the way things go right now, I don't see it happening. I see a lot of unrest worldwide. I see a lot of trouble worldwide. And it bothers me a lot because I live in this country, and so does my family, so does your family. What are we going to face in the future? I really don't know. I just know that we're heading down a road that's of unrest worldwide. Economically, the whole world's in a bind. America is, as they say, is around $38 trillion in debt, actually closer to $100 trillion. And how did we get there? And I want to say plainly, stupid financial leadership. That's how it works. It's not complicated. We were led astray on purpose, and that's where we are. But anyway, Roger, we'll take a phone call too in a minute, but you go ahead and share more things you want to share.
Well, we talked about, you know, taxes and tariffs and things like that. What we have to realize is that if we just use the direct tax system, every time the government wants a dollar in taxes, they are going to tax us exactly $1. There's no escape from that. But as we've seen in history, in recent history even, that we have been able to collect revenue through tariffs, and prices on the products that are being have those tariffs applied are not always increased. For instance, when President Trump was in office the first time, he had the 25% tariffs on China. General Motors makes a Buick in China, so they submitted a waiver to President Trump saying, can we avoid paying the tariffs? We'd like a waiver. We don't want to have to pay the tariffs. Trump denied that waiver. And you know what happened? Buick said, oh, okay, we're not going to raise the price. We're just going to keep importing the car and we'll pay the tariff. So that is the best way to collect revenue. And that's what Abraham Lincoln talked about.
Well, and I did not know that. That's a good example of what it can be. Do you see the tariffs making a difference right now in this country? Are you seeing anything good happening because of this already?
Oh, I forget what the figure is. I want to say it's $66 billion. The highest ever on record was collected last month, the month of April, just through tariffs. So that's definitely needed revenue. We need revenue to run the country, and we got a lot of things to pay for. We got all this, you know, the $37-38 trillion debt. We have to pay for these things. And what we're hearing from the free traders and the globalists is they're trying to scare people and saying it's going to cause inflation. We got to keep inflation down. Now, if you want to go down that road and say inflation, if that's the problem, if that's the issue, it's not that much of a stretch to say, why don't we just close all the U.S. factories in America, ship all the jobs over to China, and then we'll have less of an inflation problem. But nobody's going to suggest that. And when the politicians run for office, they don't campaign on low wages for people. They campaign on higher, better wages for people. So we need good wages in this country and taxpayers in this country. And we're only going to be as affluent as consumers as we are wage earners. So we have to have that affluence. And, you know, any economist, free trade or not, will tell you that two-thirds of economic activity in the United States is based on consumer spending. So we have to have money in our pockets as Americans to be able to spend to keep the economy going. And, of course, the best thing to do with that money is to buy American-made product made by an American-owned company.
That is absolutely a wonderful answer, and it's right on. I just wonder how it's going to be and how we're going to get there without a huge upheaval in this country. I'm just trying to get in my mind how we can go back to what it once was without basically collapsing everything to the point that it's going to hurt a lot of people before we get turned around. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but what I tell people is that these companies that are being hit with these tariffs, they're not raising prices. If they do raise prices, it's not because they have to. It's because they just want to. I mean, you go back in 2021, I think, was the last year that the Toyota Tacoma was made in the United States. They had a factory in Mexico and one in Texas. Now, you tell me, if you go to the dealer lot, are you going to pay less money for the Mexican-made Toyota than the American-made one? Of course not. It's going to be the same price. And they're making money hand over fist in Mexico because the wages are one-eighth of our wages. And then there's talk about, well, Trump wants to have Apple build an iPhone in the USA. And a lot of these free trade globalists are saying, oh, it's going to cost $3,500 for a phone if we make it all here and everything else. Well, I'll tell you, I bought an American-made cell phone. I forget what year it was, but it was a Google phone. And it was a Motorola. And then the company, the division of Motorola, got bought out by the Chinese, Lenovo, which you've probably heard of, electronics company. And then they closed the factory. Now, I don't know what I paid for that cell phone, but it wasn't an exorbitant price. It's not like, oh my gosh, this American-made phone is going to cost me so much more money. It's they're all priced the same. New Balance shoes made in USA cost about the same as a Nike shoe that's made in China or Bangladesh. So it's really a fallacy to believe that American-made products are always going to raise prices. And I've just provided some factual instances where they do not.
Wow. Okay, let's take a phone call. Let's go to Joseph right here in West Virginia. Joe, come on in.
Thank you for taking my call, Butch. Maybe you can remember this, Butch, and I don't know if our guest is familiar with it. Back in the 1970s, and this is when I got into working fields, is when I, you know, got out on my own, started working and raising a family, and, you know, jobs are everywhere. Manufacturing jobs are just by the tons. In fact, you can be a complete idiot and be completely illiterate and still work these jobs. But as time went on, and they paid good. I mean, I don't know anybody that was, you know, going way hungry. And, you know, they offered us insurance and all kinds of benefits. Now the government makes it mandatory. Back then, they were competing to get people to work. And give me a, I mean, I was making $4.50 an hour. That was a high wage. Working for General Electric, and your guests talked about that. I remember making those refrigerators. I can remember making water coolers that we shipped overseas for, you know, for, mm-hmm. you know, their purposes. And, you know, I can remember, you know, if you couldn't find a job, you weren't looking for a job. Today, it's the opposite. Manufacturing is just about completely gone from this country.
Well, we had no manufacturing jobs to speak of. Oh, yeah, McDonald's and fast food, they will hire. But I know for a fact I used to sell companies. Roger made shoes and clothing in West Virginia where I sold for a living. I watched him go out of business because of the competition overseas. I watched this happen. So I don't know of anybody in this area that manufactures anything.
I see some companies, you know, and being close to Elkins, I see several buildings and people told me that they used to be companies in there. I remember growing up in Illinois. It was in early 1970s, could have even been the late 1960s, when U.S. Steel closed their doors in Joliet, Illinois.
Yep.
And closed their plants down. Import cars, well, Volkswagen and Datsun was the only two imports. American manufacturers once in a while would sell a foreign import, but it didn't say it was their own and sell it.
Yeah.
But And then Jimmy Carter got in to be president, and might as well just say goodbye to everything. That seemed to be the beginning of the change in the 1970s of income and manufacturing. I can remember in Kankakee, Illinois, where I was living at before I started re-expressing myself in other areas, a lot of manufacturers were beginning to close their doors. Not because they're going overseas, but because they couldn't even afford to stay open anymore.
Okay, any comments there, Roger?
Well, I would argue that, like I said, with the tariffs that are being applied now, companies are trying to scare the American people to put pressure on the president or on Congress to not have the tariffs because everybody's claiming that the prices are going to go up. But it doesn't always work that way. As I brought up with the Buick imported from China, and there's other examples where, you know, if they were already producing in Mexico, they're making money hand over fist with the wages 1/8 of the American wage. When they closed that American factory, they went south of the border, they were making a lot more money. So, I mean, I think it's around $3 an hour they make in Mexico now. So if you put a 25% tariff on that, the price goes up to, 25% of $3. It's a very small amount that the producer would have to cover, and they can cover it in other ways. They can become more efficient, get rid of some fraud and waste in their operations. And that's the problem we have with the free trade. The free traders are saying, well, that's the most efficient way is to make it in China, but it doesn't really breed efficiency, because once you get over there in China producing with those cheap wages, you don't have to do anything else. You don't have to worry about inefficiencies in your system. You just sit back, you know, kick up your feet and just make it in China. That's all you need to do. You don't need to worry about being efficient. So it's kind of a false pretense that we're being told that free trade is the efficient way to go, and tariffs are inefficient.
That's very true. Well, good point.
I do want to comment on something he just said there, too, that, you know, the media terrorists, as I call them, Fox News, CNN, and CNBC, yet they've been working hard all these years. trying to promote something that nobody, but they won't even talk about what they're promoting, was called communism. And in the realm of communism, they're going to, you know, make things, they're going to lie. And that's all they know how to do is lie. I'm not against terrorists. I think it's a great thing. I don't know how well it's going to work because our manufacturing base has been so torn down for all these years. It's going to take several years to bring a back, you know, manufacturing base back up. Then getting the body count to work in those places because the young people are having a hard time wanting to work.
That's true. But maybe Joe, got a job. Go ahead.
Yeah, maybe there might be an incentive to work if things were different.
I agree. Good points. All right. Now let's go to Jan and I. Well, Jan, come on in. Welcome.
Good evening, Pastor. How's everybody?
Well,
tariffs only work if you have something to export or to keep the country going and not have to import everything. And we import everything. And we export little.
Okay. Comments on that, Roger?
Billion. I'm sorry. How much do we pay coming from these other countries?
Okay.
How much in tariffs did the United States pay to other countries? So
good
we got
question.
$64 billion. How much did we pay?
Comments on that, Roger?
I'm not sure I understand. How much did the consumer pay?
How much?
We got $64 million. The government got $64 million or billion.
Billion.
She said,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, what did the other governments get? How much money did China and Mexico and Venezuela and all these other countries get? In tariffs.
Oh, you mean from our products?
Yeah, from our export, right.
No. From selling their from us importing their products.
Oh, how much money did they make?
Not
how much
very
money did they
much.
Make? Okay. Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I understand how much they get. They don't get. They had to pay the tariff. That's a cost for them. It's not a benefit.
Yes, but they don't. Their costs, they're minimal because we don't make anything. And we don't make anything.
We make a lot of things. The name of my book is How Americans Can Buy American. So it can be done. It's not How Americans Can't Buy American. It can be done. I live it every day.
Put them together from basic material to finished product. We don't make anything. We import it.
You mean nothing made here?
We import a lot 100%. Of our food.
Nothing made here 100%.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying, Roger. We may put things together here, but not often do we have everything produced here to make the product out of.
Right, but there are examples. For instance, one of my favorite companies that I talk about in my book is the All American Clothing Company, and they make their jeans 100% in the U.S., 100% cotton, even down to the zipper, is made in the USA. So there are companies out there doing it, but because we import 97% of the clothing that we buy in this country, a lot of people don't know about these companies and how you can buy American, employ American workers, and you don't always have to pay an extra dime for the pleasure of doing that.
Okay.
Where do they get the material to cut the jeans out of with?
They get it from
American
cotton.
Do they buy it from an American cotton?
If you go to their website, I believe there's a tool you can go on there, and they can chase down the actual farm that they got the cotton from.
Oh, okay.
100% made in
USA.
That's
one.
Okay. That's one. That's a start, Jan. That's a start. Good point,
and
Jan. Thanks for the call. Good call.
I just bought some SAS shoes. SAS is San Antonio Shoes, 100% made in the USA. So it can be done, but
okay,
we have to know.
Have to look for them.
Right.
Have to look for them. All right, let's go to Esther in Washington State. Esther, come on in. Welcome.
Good afternoon, everyone. I have firsthand experience with tariffs and Canada and the U.S. And I'd like to say this has to do with the softwood industry. Now, the softwood industry is like pine and fir, and it. Okay, so this is what's been happening with British Columbia and Washington. British Columbia, Canada, had promised to pay the U.S., this was before NAFTA, that they would pay a certain amount of, if they weren't called tariff, they had a name for it. It was an agreement. They promised. Well, then NAFTA came in, and that promise was never fulfilled. But that promise still had to be fulfilled regardless of NAFTA from before. So what they do, this is how it works. Canada logs the logs, brings them back, brings them into the U.S. or Washington. That Canadian company owns massive acreage in a small town and a border town. They also put in a massive wood processing plant. And I'm talking, we're talking about, you know, it would cover about, oh gosh, like 25 acres, the plant itself. So then they process the wood here. And they make wainscoting and, you know, different other things. They take the processed wood back up to Canada, to British Columbia, and there they sell it to the U.S., China, all over the world, but for U.S., they sell it with tariffs, like over 200% tariffs. And the U.S. and Canada have had this huge war going on. In fact, Trump was going to fix it when he first came in 2016, but there's such a ruckus that ensued that it never got fixed. And why it's never gotten fixed is because Canadians owe the U.S. billions of dollars plus the interest. And Canada, like British Columbia and Alberta, they charge each other tariffs. Flour going into B.C. gets charged. Wine coming from B.C. to Alberta gets charged. If you want to deal with some snidey and sly business people, it's the Canadians, let me tell you. So, you know, this has got to end because they put this town in poverty, low, low wages. Their taxes are pretty much nothing. And Department of Ecology... Well, somebody, me, we had to bring in DOE to get them to stop their pollution of the Okanagan River, which is the salmon headwaters for the Columbia River, one of the tributaries, and their noise pollution, dust pollution. It was amazing. And they got fined. You know, DOE finally had the proof and evidence to get their claws into them. And, oh, boy, did we suffer for that. We suffered tremendously.
Okay.
So, anyway, that's the story. And
all right, let's
yay for tariffs and yay for Trump.
good point, sister. Thanks for the call. Roger, any comments on that?
Well, I do know that in Trump's first administration, I believe he put a 9% tariff on the Canadian softwood lumber coming in from Canada.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And I believe it was 9, could have been 9.9%. I'm not exactly sure. But I also know that when Biden came in, he doubled that same tariff for a little while to 18% or more. And then he backed it down. So I think it's still back down to 9%, if I'm not mistaken, but I'd have to look that one up. But we do have tariffs on the Canadian softwood lumber.
Okay. Now tell the folks how to get your book. We're about out of time here. How can they get your book? And folks, this is a good read. It really is. And we just skimmed the surface tonight. But how can I get a copy of your book?
Okay. Well, you can go on Amazon and look me up, or you can go to howtobuyamerican.com, and that'll show you all the books that I've written, all the articles I've written over the years. It's a pretty busy website. So I would encourage you to
howtobuyamerican.com. Folks, write that down.
howtobuyamerican.com. All spelled
out. Check it
out.
Simple website. howtobuyamerican.com. And thank you, Roger, for taking time to join me tonight. I appreciate you taking time for that. Very good conversation. I enjoyed this. I've learned a few things, and I hope you had a good time also.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, we'll have to do it again sometime because I learned a lot. I like to learn about this. I think it's important that if we don't fix this problem for our children, shame on us. Shame on us.
Right. We have to do our part, do what we can.
That's right. HowToBuyAmerican.com. Thank you, Roger Simmermaker, for being with us tonight. Let's do keep in touch. I mean, I'm going to send you an email, keep in touch. I'll put you on a mailing address to receive a magazine. It's free. It's online. And let's keep in touch, okay?
That would be great. Yes, sir. I appreciate it. Thank you.
God bless, my friend. Thank you. Thank you very much. And, folks, I enjoyed the interview very much. I truly did. That was a very knowledgeable man discussing an issue that affects all of us. Whether we like to know about it, I don't care if you're Christian, non-Christian. You gotta pay your bills. You got to eat. You got to do these things. And all this is biblical. All this information doesn't come out of our heads if you want to know the facts about it. Economics are in the Bible. If you understand economics of the Bible, then you understand what we talk about is biblical. We must be willing to learn and listen from God's Word on all issues. If we're not, we're failing miserably, and our children pay for it. And you know that. I want to ask you, please, if you don't mind, keep us in mind when you order something from somebody or from us. We appreciate that because it helps pay your bills here. It really does, and we're into a new month coming up in just a few days. Hard to believe that we'll soon be halfway through another year. Wow. But if you can help us, I'd appreciate very much, folks. Well, I really would. Order something if you can or whatever you want to do, but we need to keep this thing going. I think we made some progress over the years with people's lives, maybe in blessing some other people. It's what this is all about. It's to glorify our Father in heaven above all things, but to uplift and bless other people that maybe are wanting to learn and strive to be more knowledgeable of the Word of God and how things actually are supposed to operate on this earth. We're here to do His will, not our own. I know sometimes we don't like to think about that because we want to do something on our own, but we're here to do His will. Once we figure that out, life becomes much more simpler and much more pleasant to live. And that's a fact. I've talked from experience on that. So give us a call at 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448. Get our catalog. Leave your address. Get our catalog. See what we have to offer. And if we can do something to help you with the product, please feel free to call and order it if you can because we want to keep this thing going as long as we possibly can. I don't know what the future holds, folks. I'm not that kind of prophet, but I can tell you what the Bible says. It's not going to be pleasant. But let's do what we can to maybe bless others and protect our families while we have a chance. All right? I'll see you tomorrow night, Lord willing. Have a great night and good night.
Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America.